In a way, aren't we all Spartacus?
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Howdy, Steve.
Hello. Tearing your attention away from the small screen.
We've returned the microphone.
Thank you.
Back to the studio for the moment.
Being. One in the can for Team New Zealand. If you've not had a chance to catch up on the latest sporting news.
What does that mean?
They won the first race. I don't know how many they have to win to retain the America's Cup, but they've at least won one. So.
Okay.
It's a good start.
Cool. Party at the Viaduct.
The Americans really nailed it by just calling it the America's Cup. They can never lose. Branding.
Sports.
There's a lot of them.
So, when I was here last week, I was quite excited because I was going to go home and watch the sequel to Coming to America, which is titled Coming to America. And, well, I wasn't the only one that watched it. Over the weekend, it scored the biggest streaming opening weekend of the past year. More people watched this.
People could get out.
More people watched this in the US than watched Wonder Woman 1984 or watched Borat's subsequent movie film. Mm-hmm. But they probably discovered what I did, which is that the movie's not very good.
Oh, damn it.
If there's a place in your heart for the first Coming to America, you could do worse than watch this, but it's so ropey that I would almost not even call it a movie. It's just a collection of things to remind you about the first film.
Okay.
And some of those are amusing. And let's probably just leave it at that and move on.
What about Wesley Snipes? Is he kind of okay? Or
okay,
just...
holy effing something, Wesley Snipes is the best thing about this
great.
Movie.
I had good feelings about Blade being in it.
He is... He's relishing every second of screen time. Eddie Murphy is just kind of snoozing the whole way through.
It's different when you got bills to pay. You act different.
I think so. And as Eddie Murphy's attitude to money was shown very well when he hosted, made a triumphant return to Saturday Night Live.
Mm.
And when describing how he looked, he said, you know what they say, money don't crack.
Yo.
Mm. So anyway, watch that if you have got some patience for a pretty tough watch. That
is it
has
actually
some
hard to watch? Like, is it hard to follow? Or
no, it's not hard to follow because it completely replicates the first Coming to America in many ways.
And then they go to Africa.
A lot of beats that are the same. And it just kind of runs you through, you know, it's one of those nostalgia projects that just exists to kind of remind you of all the things you liked about the first one.
Mm.
And like I say, some of them are entertaining.
Okay.
Moving on.
Opening in cinemas tomorrow is a film called The Dissident. You may remember a news story about a journalist who was murdered and chopped up in the Saudi Arabian embassy in Turkey. Within the last year or two.
Yeah.
His name was Jamal Khashoggi, and he's the subject of this documentary. It's made by Brian Fogel. He was the director of the Oscar-winning documentary Icarus, which explored, well, started as, I'm going to be like Lance Armstrong and do doping and ride a bike, and turned into, holy shit, I've just uncovered a massive state-sponsored Russian doping program.
Mm-hmm.
Really good film. And Fogel here... shows the good craft that was on display in Icarus. Story's a little bit different because we, if you followed the story in the news, you kind of know many of the details. But what's good here is you get to know Khashoggi's fiance and also via another activist from Saudi Arabia, get to know a bit more context about what he was doing. So sort of fleshes him out as a person and makes him not just a headline. The story's horrific. And some of the really moving parts in this documentary are when they interview Turkish intelligence services who found out exactly what had happened in this embassy, and they had an audio recording of every moment of this guy getting killed, the people discussing how to do it, and then actual audio of him being dismembered. And you know, these are pros who do this for a living, but they are not having a good time on camera talking about it. Yes, this is the heavy part of the flicks in that segment. The Dissident, it's in cinemas tomorrow. You might think you know the story. This isn't going to tell you a whole lot of other information, but it's just nice to see it concisely wrapped up in a doco with a bit more of a human element.
Where'd they get the audio from? Was it phones or is it surveillance within the building?
That's unclear. It's probably could be any and all of the above. As you may recall, there was a guy that was president at the time whose name was Donald Trump, and they had a very cozy relationship with Saudi Arabia, and in particular, the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who was behind this murder. And so, despite this tape, at first they denied that anything bad had happened. Then the American government denied that there was an audio recording, because basically they just wanted to keep being mates with a strong arm mofo and sell him tens of billions of dollars worth of arms. Cool. Whoa. Anyway, moving right along, let's end on a feel-good moment. Florian Harbicht, another documentary maker, this time from Aotearoa, has a new film coming out. The trailer for that has just dropped this week. The movie's called James and Icy, and it is a great doco. It's not out here until May, but I think it's worth checking out the trailer. It's about a woman nearing her 100th birthday and her son, who is her, I guess her, I was going to say her primary caregiver, but in the film he describes himself as not that and just says that they go through life supporting each other. This is a really nice slice of Northland or Far North life, and you can check out the trailer, James and Icy. Florian's made some really awesome docos over the years. He's the guy behind Kaikoi Demolition. The awesome Pulp documentary.
I haven't got around to watching that Demolition one, but I know that it's fantastic.
It's great.
Told me.
He's just got this real knack for like the things that he finds interesting.
Seems
are a little bit off kilter, perhaps, and he's got a real knack for building a relationship with his subjects. So the sorts of things they end up talking about on camera are definitely not your typical doco.
It's all incredibly relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah, big time. And even you might even say that some of the technical elements of the film have a relaxed attitude to them as well, because he's just really trying to get a whole bunch of interesting things together. And this one looks like it's another success. James and Icy.
Nice one.
James and Icy.
Correct. Icy spelled I-S-E-Y. James is spelled J-A-M-E-S.
Carry on, James.
And is spelt with the ampersand character.
So everything's spelt, though?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is a bit.
All right, Steve. 000 on Neon as well from last week. Good recommendation.
Nice. I'm glad to hear you're enjoying it. May your enjoyment continue as the body count continues to amass. No problems with the amount of subtitles on that one?
No. A bit more violence than I was expecting, but I guess there's 5 tons of cocaine at stake, so...
So $500 and something million of coke.
Cane.
Everyone real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.